Good morning. It's a Firehouse Football Friday, a Jerry Triple Down Friday. More quotes, more shots taken in the USA Today with Jared Bell.
Who's sassier, do you think? Jerry Jones or Peyton just now bitching at us to get on the Zoom?
There's nothing on the YouTube, guys.
I can't. I don't have internet, so
you get down, you connect to the internet down there. We're getting on there, Peyton, so don't you worry your mildly attractive head off.
Yeah, don't worry, Peyton. We're rocking. We're rolling. We're live here. Sean, RJ, and Bobby at the Denton Firehouse presented by Palmer's Hot Chicken, Catfish, and Shrimp. Here until 10 a.m., we got fantastic giveaways all morning long. Free breakfast is rocking and rolling right now, and I believe more to come in the 7 o'clock hour, so come on and get your free breakfast, get your Whataburger flags, and of course the Sean and RJ cooler setup. These things are sweet, dude.
Yeah, they are.
Dude, they're
insulated
awesome.
Cooler. You keep
insulated
it warm, keep it
cooler.
Keep it cold.
Oh yeah, you got to keep it cold. You got to be able to. What's the point of something if you can't keep it cold? You could probably keep it hot too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
If you really wanted to.
That is a thing we all say, right? What's the point of something if you can't keep it cold? I've just never heard that as a slogan before.
You could literally.
You know what? That's a good point. That needs to be a slogan. Sure, what's the point of having something if you can't keep it cold?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you can't keep it hot either.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. No, I have a little section in my backpack, my season 3 burn notice backpack, and I got an insulated little spot so I can put something cold and I know it'll stay cold, or I can put a hot pocket in there. I can literally cook a hot pocket in the morning, and my hot pocket could still be hot by lunchtime thanks to the insulated little zipper spot in my backpack.
It's like a 6-pack bag thing. Have you seen those 6-pack bags?
Yes, they're brilliant.
Right, it's the only 6-pack I'm going to get. So you might as well get a bag.
Yeah, you got to, man.
Pre-soda. Now
you never know, right?
Soda.
No question about it.
I think that's just showing off, though. A 6-pack. I think that's just showing off.
Oh my god,
that's punishment. I don't think you're punishing yourself.
Yeah, you don't need that. You're just showing off at that point. Nobody really wants to see that.
Right.
Nobody likes somebody with a 6-pack, do they?
No, I think you deal with a lot of hate naturally.
Yeah.
A lot of people bitter at you. So yeah, I could totally see that.
It's a person that you know is anti-fun oftentimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because
they don't go to dinner, they don't go to drinks.
That has to be your priority. If you have 6 of them things on that stomach, that's your priority. That's the first thing you think about when you wake up in the morning and before you
go to Jay.
Yeah, Jay. Their whole life revolves around pool season. Like, that's fine. Which is fine. I mean, so does mine.
Well, he gets that because Jay gets that because he's an incredible Tolo first and foremost,
that's just
and I think that helps.
That's genetics.
But he's also climbing through roofs and stuff. Yeah. He does AC and I mean during the summer. That's just he's just Shredward Scissorhands year round because of that.
You know what we're doing this year? We're cold plunging in the pool this year, baby.
I'm down.
Come on over.
I'll come over to your place for that.
Let's get in the pool.
How was your cold plunge a couple weeks ago at Southern Leisure?
It was fantastic, to be honest with you. Now Broadus did it for 20 minutes. So
were you worried about his blood pressure?
How cold?
This was sub 40 degree temperatures.
And he did 20 minutes?
He did 20 minutes.
Broadus with high blood pressure.
Yeah, it was hazardous.
That's not good.
His doctor was like blowing up his phone the whole time because he listens and is like, "You shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be doing this." But you know how broad this is.
220 over 140. You think that blood pressure?
3 minutes tops.
I know
you doing that thing.
Yeah, it was brutal, but you feel great coming out of it. You really do. All right, feeling great right now because we are in Denton. This is the college town, dude. I can't help but feel romantic.
This is your stomping grounds, man.
Yes, and this is a gorgeous firehouse, by the way.
That's fantastic.
Been open for 4 years. I was talking to Mr. Boots earlier, and he was saying a couple years ago before Snowmageddon. This one opened up, which was perfect because the one across the street, the old one that I was familiar with, because I used to live right here. I literally lived on Eagle. You couldn't be in my apartment for like more than 30 minutes at a time without hearing sirens of some sort.
Oh, wow.
And that has something to do with Denton. that has something to do with Denton. Yeah, I was always getting the fire trucks called.
I was murdered for sure.
They got a mean green truck.
I know.
Over here, the green fire truck.
I cannot wait to go.
I don't know if it's a ladder or whatever they call it.
It looks phenomenal.
And by the way, we're at 1401 Underwood Street, and I made sure to get clarity. So when you pull up here, there's some parking on the side of the firehouse that you can park at. I know there's no more parking now, apparently, but if you see a parking spot on the side of the firehouse, even though it says no parking, you apparently can park there. And there's also some parking here on the bay in front of us. Do not park on the, as you're pulling in, the left side of the entrance, because that's where the engine's got to get out. You got to park over here directly in front of us. But we're out here to party today.
Never ceases to amaze how many people are out here at 6 o'clock.
As long as Jerry approves of our party. party.
Right, that's true.
Yeah, I'm surprised
we
have so many.
We got to pass that through.
So many people are here after what was such a slow week for the program and for the station. I'm surprised everybody was able to
get
more surprised. Dude,
the way that the town has soured on the Cowboys because we're apparently employees, they probably would have soured on us.
Right. We can't get anything through without the Jerry approval, and that was made patently obvious to Jarrett Bell of USA Today on Thursday. I should be clear. This was something that Jarrett Bell said on Tuesday, or that Jerry Jones said to Jarrett Bell on Tuesday. So
that's disappointing.
Now here's the thing. Thank you, Cody. Diana Russini had talked to Jerry literally walking out of owners' meetings as he was walking to his car. Jarrett Bell's discussion with Jerry Jones on Tuesday was at his car. So these were literally back-to-back statements made walking from Diana Russini to then Jarrett Bell. It just was not even – he didn't write about it till Thursday, as I guess he was gathering his thoughts. But there was a lot here. The headline says Jerry Jones was wrong to threaten radio hosts for Cowboys. Jarrett Bell sets it up, says that Jerry Jones went on the flagship, the low light coming when he seemingly threatened to replace the three hosts for real. And this is what Jerry said. "I don't know," Jones said, standing outside his waiting SUV. "I'll tell you what, Dale Hansen and Brad Sham had to take a leap when they went too far, one way or another." Dale Hansen and Brad Sham both were – Dale Hansen let go for criticism on the air on the broadcasts of Jerry Jones several different times. Brad Sham was temporarily let go for some criticism, but also a lot of defense of Dale during that time. And then Brad went back.
Did Rangers for like 3 years.
Yeah, he did. And it was a big deal at the time. But it mentions here, Jarrett says, "Remember, the buck stops with the team owner and more was than one." And Jerry's quote, he says, "They're my own folks. That's like Brad and Dale putting it on us during a ball game." And it says, "During the 28-minute segment, it began with a lighthearted tone as Jones drove to the airport for the trip to Atlanta. He described himself as sick by the debacle on Sunday and joked that it was the perfect time to lay low and get out of town. Yet the flow and Jones' responses got heated after roughly 12 minutes. For several minutes, Jones sounded defensive when the host sought responses about the minimal moves by the Cowboys in the offseason."
Real quick, Eric, you're seeing Bobby slowly read this, by the way. This is fantastic.
Yeah, this is incredibly slow, actually.
He usually would have skipped at least 11 words at this point.
I know. I thank you, Mavis Beacon. Like all that typing in 1997, the typing program, it's helped slow me down a little bit.
Your commitment.
Jerry Jones told Jarrett Bell, he said, "I don't want to demean or undermine their credibility." Well, you failed. just like in building this football team, Jerry, you failed.
But I do things I don't want to do all the time.
I don't want to demean or undermine their credibility, but we were kind of set up for taking me to the woodshed, and I wasn't ready for that. I was going to talk about the very things they wanted to talk about, but I didn't want it before a tribunal. They're not the ones. Now, the guys that are listening, my ticket holders and fans, they are the ones.
Yeah, they're not. Trust me, they're not the ones that you want to hear from. I don't think he wants that smoke.
No.
He does not. You want to do a call segment when he calls in next week?
Sure.
Okay.
Open it up.
All right.
If we have enough dump, we can start with Peyton. Peyton can throw out the first question with some of the stuff he said.
Oh, I got a few.
So what you would need, because like what happens is that there's you could say things on social media and you could say things on text, but when you're talking to someone, it's different, right?
For sure.
Your defense mode, everything goes higher. It only takes one person to be the guinea pig, to be the first one to set it off.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody else was just, okay, well, he's still alive.
Pile on.
Right? He didn't die. Let's just pile on. And it would be a disaster for him. He doesn't want that.
You know, we've talked a ton about this. I mean, not the Jarrett Bell thing, but we've talked a ton about the Jerry interview and the fallout and everything else. I'm curious, what's your take been sitting in the afternoon, Eric? And what has the GMAG Nation thought about all
What's your take been in safe territory?
And how would you have played sitting
not
there?
Having your job threatened? How's that feel?
I would hope that I would played it as well as you guys did.
By the way, just really quickly, I know everybody keeps saying having your job threatened. To me, it's the most empty threat of all. He's not doing anything to my job.
I'm leaning into that.
I know. Just for clarity for anybody who listens, since now we get people listening and writing articles for the next week, he didn't hire me. He can't fire me. So That's just where it's at.
And that's what's so weird about it. He's likening you guys to Shim and Hansen, so he's trying to tie those two things together of like, I could boot these guys out in a split second if I want to.
Yeah.
And he's treating it like it's DallasCowboys.com. He's also treating he called it a woodshed. You guys were just tearing them up the whole time.
We're a tribunal and we're Yahoos, which I do think that needs to be the new name of the show. Because we do have Bobby. It can't be Sean, RJ, and Bobby. That's just too many names. I just think we should be called the Yahoos.
The Morning Yahoos.
The Yahoos over the Tribunals?
I think Yahoos stands out.
I don't even know. He keeps saying Tribunal, and I'm like, well, I don't even – I haven't done the research on the definition of that. I'm like, I don't even know what he really means
Survivor,
by it.
Right? The tribe has spoken. That's what it is.
I don't know. Yeah, no, maybe. I have no idea.
But it's so random.
A tribunal is like a judgment seat.
This is such against the grain from what he's always been, and I feel like you guys have had segments with him where you've asked him more difficult questions. He's just very sensitive to the status of his football team right now and the decisions that he's made since the offseason, and it has been a bit of a buildup. This was a loud offseason of criticism.
Yeah.
And he has not, and he was indignant on the fact that we were wrong in real time, and now he can't fathom the idea that, oh, wow, this entire offseason that I've been selling something, and now we are just over a month into it, and it's already bottoming out on him. And he's taking simple questions, calm questions. You guys handled it fantastic. I don't know that I feel confident that I would have handled it any better. I would have wanted to kind of bark back a little bit. He's talking over you guys and like asking you questions. What's your point? What's your point? What's your point? And then cut you off.
What's your damn point?
Cut you off when you're trying to give him the point. So I thought y'all handled it extremely well, and I think there's just clearly underlying issues that he came into the interview with.
Yeah, it's like, okay, so what's, you know, when somebody calls you out on something, or somebody says something to you, right, they come at you, if it's not true, you generally don't get offended. You're like, you know, when somebody like kind of makes, even if they joke at you, if it's not true,
unless it's you talking about the SEC,
fair. But like, they don't get offended if it's not true, because he doesn't. But when it is true,
it hurts more.
And he knew it was true. He knew what we were saying and what the fans are saying and what the whole narrative is about the team. He knows it's real, and that hurt more, because at the end of the day, it is his fault, and he should get the credit when they win, and the blame when they lose. And that's just the way it is. He puts himself in that position. Not the coach, not the players. It's him.
Here's the thing: is that he has said routinely the buck stops with him. So the buck stops with you when you lose by 25 to New Orleans. And the buck stops with you when you lose by 38 to Detroit at home. And not just that. When someone that you respect comes into town on your birthday and says, I am going to do everything in my power to get an offensive lineman a touchdown on a trick play in this game. That's gonna check your ego a little bit. And then when you're standing there post-game and you're getting grilled, you're not going to like that. And then when you're heading to the airport already, having to talk on the phone, heading to the airport, hear the same questions before hopping on that plane and landing in Atlanta to get the side eye from 31 other owners of like, whew, that was pretty embarrassing for you on Sunday, wasn't it? I understand the context in which he got angry. That doesn't change the opinion. That doesn't change the fact at all that he was wrong. He's wrong to get upset or offended or feel like it's not anybody's place to ask him for, hey, this is proper context here. What you did this offseason is proper context to the S show we're seeing right now. And make no mistake, you can tell me 3-3 and anything else you want. It is an S show. This is an awful football team. This is a team that is worse right now than that 2010 team was six games into the season. I don't give a damn that you're 3-3. You're a bad football team.
You think this team is worse than that one?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, 100%. If you look at the way they played, they were worse. All of their margins were worse.
Okay, that's fair.
And
I mean,
so
they're getting blown out.
They are getting blown out. They weren't in 2010 to that point. Dallas, I think, was actually on the positive side of like yards gained versus yards allowed by 200 or so. They were playing okay through those first 6 weeks, and then they quit. They crumbled and they quit.
The moment the quarterback goes down, you're going to probably quit.
Here's what
sucks about this team is because your quarterback hasn't gone down. He's upright. He's standing
gone down
healthy.
He's gone down in talent.
The team is still extremely bad.
Here's what Jerry and Mike McCarthy and everybody else need to accept. You got one of two answers here. Either your team has quit, in which case you need to blow people out, right now, or your team is really bad, and I need to stop hearing about, we have the right guys. You don't. You're bad. You are a bad football team, and you built a bad football team. And I'm sorry that that's uncomfortable, and I'm sorry that that hurts, but when you tell me the buck stops with you, that means consequences also stop with you. And there's no real consequences if you're the guy hiring and firing people, and it's you. So the consequences of that then are you have to take every bit of criticism and every bit of uncomfortable question, and those weren't even uncomfortable questions.
I know.
They weren't.
Nope.
For a guy with the thickest skin and the broadest shoulders of anybody, man, I've ever seen with
true.
A public profile, it's sad to watch him flounder like this this week.
Never takes it that harsh.
Ever.
Mm-mm. Like, there's not an – never. And that's that.
That's
was,
why
that
it's so surprising so and so weird. And now I cannot wait for Tuesday morning at 8:30. That's going to be appointment listening. Going to be fantastic. But, yes, he doubles down, triples down now with the USA Today. That was, as the context from Bobby there, that was comments from Tuesday, but the story comes out yesterday. And now I wonder what his current status is of how he's actually feeling, because clearly Tuesday he was fired up, letting you guys have it, not simmering down on the flight to Atlanta, ripping in with Diana Russini, and also, then there's Jarrett Bell. Who wants to hear from me about this, because I'm ready to let it fly? He was ticked.
I can extend grace to the point of it's the context says clearly you're gonna be uncomfortable and upset and mad and everything like that, and I know we gotta get to a break, and that's fine. I can accept that, and I don't need an apology or anything else. But what I am saying is that if that were to continue, we have an issue. And I don't mean just an issue between us, take us out of it. I'm saying we have an issue of his ability to handle the heat that comes with the job if this extends into next week.
All right, it's a Firehouse Football Friday here. Sean, RJ, and Bobby live in Denton at the Denton Firehouse. Firehouse number 3, and she's a beauty. We got a bunch of Tolos here right now. We got the free breakfast. We got the flags. And, of course, we got the insulated coolers that are super, super sick as well. 877-881-1053. Sean was just vasectomized, so he will be back on
bye, Jerry.
On Monday. We look forward to that. But, man, my goodness, last night, the MLB playoffs, the Mets continue to get smoked. The Yankees can't close the door. Thursday night football was a disaster. And Choppy's got a take on the college basketball situation that went down yesterday. Just getting started on a Football Friday live from Denton, next on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Now Maton's 2-2. Bet swings, hits a high fly ball left field, going back. Nimmo on the track, at the wall. It is out of here! Mookie Betts, watch that one fly from the batter's box, admiring a two-run blast.
All right, Dodgers radio with the call. Dodgers absolutely spank the Mets once again, 10-2, and they are rocking and rolling. They're leading the series 3-1. The baseball playoffs last night, as it pertains to the Yankees and the Guardians, though.
Guards.
That one, that we were watching it in studio yesterday as it was getting going, and we're watching Judge and Stanton go back to back on it, and then I'm driving home and Blake and Fred are giving updates on the game, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And then Mike's texting us in the group message like, baseball, and of course Bobby's trolling him back about Bo Nix being
Bo
on the
Nix
screen.
On the screen.
Yeah, don't bother
up.
Me right
watching
now.
Bo Nix.
Watching
Nobody
Bo
watched
Nix.
Any of the Bo Nix.
I did. It was funny. I watched the first half of that game, and it was pretty funny, and we can discuss it in a little bit. But my goodness, man, the Yankees losing in extras now leading the series 2-1.
Shouldn't have even got to. I mean, it was clutch plays by Judge and Stanton and an awful challenge by
David
the guards,
Fry.
By the way, of the Judge home run. But
the Stanton home run. Yeah, he missed first base.
That was so stupid.
Yeah, it was desperation. That was.
But just in general. It was. I mean, yeah, it was a great game. One of the better games in baseball. Probably the best game we've seen in baseball this year, even absent, you know, the playoff implications of it.
That Mets Braves game on the Monday after the regular season was legit crazy. This did it too. The Dodgers Mets series has been bad. Every game decided by 4 runs or more. The Dodgers have won games 9-0, 8-0, and 10-2, and the Mets win was 7-3. That is an unwatchable series of two mega markets. Like, baseball would love to have, because those are the games on Fox, baseball or FS1. Baseball would love to have that series be a bunch of one-run games, and it just hasn't been. And the Dodgers are going to wrap this thing up. I would assume, probably tonight.
Yeah.
The Dodgers' problem is their pitching's a mess.
Another thing Peyton was wrong about. He said the Mets were going to win the whole thing in our text chain. And so now
I said they could. They could win the whole thing.
I believe you said the Mets are going to go out there and win the whole thing.
Go back and read it.
It's what's wrong with Peyton Russell.
I actually know how to read.
That's a new segment.
I can read, though, just like Aaron Rodgers. But, yeah, the Dodgers series is – anytime you get a game last night, I was just looking through the box score. Would you get – 3 walks and still get 3 at-bats in a game, the opposing pitcher had a rough day.
Well, the Mets have, I think they have walked now 40 hitters. They have 40 walks. They have allowed the Dodgers in the last 30 innings, like 40 walks.
Jeez.
It's insane. It is insane.
Those are Rick Ankiel numbers.
Yeah, they are. So that game was a blowout. But the first game, Eric, was... It was a lot of fun. It was kind of slow until the end. I mean, Cleveland had a 3-1 lead. Both stars were fine. Boyd pitched well. You get to the Cleveland bullpen, and their bullpen's nails, right? So they don't spend a ton of money. Uh-oh. Oh, we got a call.
Fire him up,
know,
ladies
right?
and gentlemen. Up, here we go. Denton Firehouse, number 3. Let's go. Look, you can see how quick they're moving.
Oh, no,
he's
running, too.
Look at the mustache. This is the same thing. Okay, so I went to Glen Heights with you guys, and the mustaches were just rampant with the firemen.
Yeah, because
that's part of the uniform.
There's no greater sign of manliness than a full mustache.
Couldn't agree more.
Which is why Peyton's Peyton. No, that's why.
Have you seen it lately?
You tried to display it. You're like a peacock with half his feathers, like trying to display it, and you don't actually have
Peyton's
it.
Is more pencil thin too.
It's just wispy.
It's a little wispy.
It's weird. It's not just thin horizontally. It's thin vertically too.
Tom Selleck's on one side of the spectrum, and then you have Peyton on the other side.
Yeah, he looks.
And then everybody else is just sort of in between.
Yeah, Peyton looks like Tom Selleck if his lip had male pattern baldness.
Put some Rogaine on that lip, my dog. Could Dr. Bishara throw a little mustache help?
Back to baseball. Can they go that precision? With just a little pinch?
Yeah, sure. They absolutely could.
That's what he could do. He could get the Jason Witten fake hair painted on his lip.
The Beijing, but on his lip. Starts dripping off when he's drinking.
All right, So Class A is in there, and he's been the best closer. He's allowed 5 runs in the entire season.
Wouldn't you love to have a closer like that?
It would be great.
Be awesome.
Too bad you never had Class A. Too bad you never had Class A.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who he did?
Unfortunately, we punted on him a few years ago.
Yeah.
4?
Oh, my gosh. Who was that for?
For a half inning to Corey Kluber.
Oh, it was the Kluber. Oh, gosh.
Or was it a third of it? A full inning? They got a full inning out of him, I think, maybe?
They got one full inning.
So, Class A, he's allowed 5 runs all year. After last night, he's now allowed 6 runs in the playoffs.
You know what just dawned on me, by the way? Not to dovetail too much, but when you said Corey Kluber, had Aaron Rodgers never played another snap for the Jets? That would have been our error.
That would have been our error. That's right. It absolutely would have been.
Did Kluber run out there with the flag?
I'll never forget how good he looked in those powder blues. Sunday best.
Yeah.
And we got about 5 minutes.
He looked great,
And then he came back the next year and threw a no-hitter on us, right?
What an inning. Yeah. Oh, fantastic.
Probably the best inning we've ever seen.
It really was. So you get to this game, and here's Class A on the mound, and there's two. There's what, two outs, and Judge comes up as the tying run, and we can make fun of John Sterling because he probably didn't see it.
Swung on and drilled to right field. That ball is going to be gone. It was a line drive, and it went over the right field fence. It's a Judgian blast. The Yankee dugout goes nuts. They're all on the field. A two-run home run to tie the game the opposite way.
All right, so you know he saw it. He saw it. Okay.
Sort of. I would love to hear, like, I would love it if Chiafalo, like, could hit a home run that John Sterling could call, because I would just love to hear
Chiafalo.
I would love to see him try the mouthful of Chiafalo-ian.
Chiafalo-ian home run. All right. So, okay, so range of emotions, right? Now the game's tied. Like, oh, my God, everybody's going crazy. And then the next batter, they move Stanton up in the lineup, and the next batter does this.
Swung on and hit in the air to center field and deep. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Stanton and Judge have hit home runs, a back-to-back and a belly-to-belly. And the Yankees take the lead. Giancarlo, non si può stopparlo. He homers and he and Judge hit him back-to-back.
Fantastic.
There are like three things I love there. See, you were talking S about Sterling coming back and calling
his game. It's so bad.
He's in his bag right there.
Dude, he is in his bag.
Belly to belly.
He is in his bag.
Back to back.
I hated how he came back, though.
Belly to belly.
Because he just pulled the rug right out from under that guy.
Yeah.
Whoever was doing the game. So now you go to the bottom of the ninth. And now there's two outs. Guardians, whatever the Cleveland adopted parents. That's what I'm calling them for now, the adoptive parents.
How reckless are your UNT brethren around here just burning us down?
I told you that you can't. I couldn't be in my apartment in college for more than 5 minutes at a time without hearing sirens. It's a high crime, high stupidity. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I don't like the danger. Sounds very dangerous around here.
It is.
A lot of fires.
That's what the D in Denton stands
that's
for.
That's what it is. That's right. So now there's two outs. Cleveland's on their final strike. They get a guy on base. And then, now this is, I haven't heard this call. I imagine this is from Tom Hamilton, is going to be insane as Cleveland ties it.
Swung in and hammered. Jeez. High, deep to left. Away out of here. Bedlam in Cleveland. John Kenzie Noel.
Now that's a call.
That's intense.
The crack of that bat was pretty nice.
The one we got on TV that I sent you guys last night.
Oh, that was not good.
It was a terrible line. What
Christmas?
Was his line?
Because his last name is Noel, yeah, so he says it's Christmas in Cleveland.
But he said, yeah, what did he say? Hold on, I'm going to pull it up. I got to find
Peyton, do you have that one?
I do not.
The ultimate present under the
That's
tree.
Right, the ultimate present under the tree.
Jump off a bridge.
See, we got to take
jump off a bridge into that godforsaken lake there in Cleveland.
We
got
to take
you
behind the scenes with Peyton.
So
if we
bad.
Send something in the group chat, it never shows up with the cut sheet.
Sometimes if you send an email, it is past 6:40 on Thursday.
That's true. It is past 6:40 on Thursday. All right, Peyton, that was a great
Peyton's
call.
Peyton's put in his full 3.5 days of work.
Hey, it was a great load yesterday. I appreciate it.
That was. It was a very
thank
good,
you.
That was a great call,
people
though,
said
by
that
Tom
about
Hamilton. That was fantastic. He's one of the five or six best in the business at those big home run calls. And then there is a walk-off in the next inning.
Swung on, hit high, hit deep to left. There she goes. How about that? A walk-off two-run home run to the bleachers in left. Is not done by any means.
How do you think Fox would have called that?
Supersize that fry.
That's good. It's a good one. It's a good one. That was that baseball needed that after because the Dodgers series. Dodgers are going to blow out the Mets. Baseball really needed that night. They did not need the Yankees to win and go up 3-0. And it looked like they were going. Now it was going to be in dramatic fashion.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to be dramatic, right, with the home run, the back-to-back home runs, and the belly-to-belly home runs, barely. but they really needed that night.
When was the last time you think Sterling was belly-to-belly?
Bobby.
I'm just saying. He's old.
He's in his 80s.
Yeah, right. So
real quick, guys, do you guys want to hear the Spanish call of the Noel game
yes.
time home
oh,
run?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Here we go.
Plateau, Matanza! Ah! Feliz Navidad!
I knew it.
Oh, Feliz Navidad!
I knew it was coming.
That's awesome.
You have to do that.
That's great. Boy, baseball. I'm happy. I'm happy baseball got that. They really needed that.
If they can get a Cardinals-Rangers series out of the Yankees and Dodgers, baseball pretty much be at its peak right now.
Dude, this is bad. The ladder just left.
The ladder just left. So we're 36 minutes into this thing. We've got two calls.
Yeah, it means you're also late. You're also late to break.
My apologies. All right, we're just getting started here. 6 a.m. club style. Sean, RJ, and Bobby live from the Denton Firehouse on a football Friday. Part of the Firehouse Tour presented by Palmer's Hot Chicken, Catfish, and Shrimp. Let's go ahead and let's get you the Thursday night football disaster. Bobby has a conspiracy, and he went to the fair yesterday. That's all next right here on The Fan.
Blitz on the way. Rattler's in trouble. Pulled down as he throws. And this ball knocked up into the air and deflected and picked off by Cody Barton. Barton looking backwards into the end zone. That is a Denver touchdown.
Unbelievable Thursday night football disaster in New Orleans. The Saints look unwatchable after just boat racing our Cowboys about a month ago. It feels like it was a lot longer than that if you're a Saints fan, especially right now. My goodness gracious. But welcome in to the 6 a.m. Club on a football Friday, Firehouse Friday here in Denton. Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Sean will be back on Monday after his lovely little vasectomy. He went to the same doctor that I did. I teed it up. I said, I was like, hey, go to this guy. Trust me. This
guy. You get a referral fee?
Yeah. I should have given a little
Is it like a pyramid scheme? Because like Chris Arnold recommended you, right? My favorite visual in the history of ever is Chris Arnold at a table in AT&T Stadium showing, like, diagramming for Eric how they do the procedure. And giving him tips on – do you remember that?
Oh, do I remember that. CA was giving me the tip, and it was exactly what I needed
like
to hear.
We're all like Eskimo bros now, in a sense.
I'd like to – yeah, in some way, some – yeah. Me and Sean, we kind of are after having the same doctor.
I mean, yeah. It's,
you need a doctor like yours better?
I don't know. Well, my wife was actually in there watching because my wife's crazy. I don't know if Sean's wife.
She
was
watched like I want to see the incisions and everything.
Yes, she my.
Could you imagine if you brought Oliver in to look? He brought his kids in to watch.
Yeah, you don't want that going down. I don't know how often that doctor has somebody watching him perform what it is he's doing with the lasers, and at some point you see a little bit of smoke rising up.
It's not a knife; it's a laser.
Nope. See, we're never doing this. We're never doing this, Chop. Choppy and I are out on this. We're not going to do this.
My 11-year-old absolutely would want to watch.
Yeah,
absolutely, he would want to watch.
Well, yeah, that's how my wife was, and I was extremely uncomfortable. But 15 minutes, and it was over. And then I texted Sean like, "How was it?" And he was like, "You were right. It was pretty chill." So hopefully his recovery has been fine and all is well.
Shout out to Justin who's out here today from Irvine. He decided to stop by here before. He's got a job interview this morning, so we're wishing him luck on the job
That's
interview
cool.
while we're out here at Denton Firehouse number 3. A bit we already got a bunch of people popping through. Yeah,
stunned again every time.
We have Chop. We got looks like country music star Hardy back there in the green hat.
He does look like Hardy.
Looking just like Hardy. Wait in the truck.
He does look like Artie.
He looks like Denton is what he looks like.
He looks like Denton? Yeah, yes, there's a look. There's no doubt.
He absolutely
there's
does.
A look.
That guy's a beast. Okay, last night, Thursday Night Football was a disaster. Here's Al Michaels, just as perturbed as anybody, at the end of half number one. Saints are getting crushed. They're calling timeouts before kneel downs, and Al Michaels is confused, and he just wants to get to his halftime ribeye.
And that's the way this half is going to end in all likelihood, but they're going to take another timeout, I guess. All right.
Timeout.
For what practical purpose? You tell me.
Final of the half. Again,
I don't know. They're even your stuff.
Yeah.
The stuff you is hard.
You're excited for what's going on behind this wall right here at halftime. You hungry?
It depends. I got to see what's
on the menu.
What the spread is tonight. Are we going Cajun or Creole?
It's a great, great town for food.
Sure. Punt, fumble, punt, field goal.
Take the ball.
For the Saints. Will you take a timeout? Huh. It's the only timeout I've ever seen, and a kneel down follows.
And they'll get booed off.
Yeah, whatever. I know. Well, 16-3 is our halftime score.
And it somehow got worse and worse after that for the Saints. It was a true embarrassment.
He said the part out loud that we all feel sitting in the press box. when we're up there and it's getting near the end of a game or it's getting near halftime, and they're calling timeouts unnecessarily. You just sit there and go, like, please, would you please just let the damn clock run out?
You call a timeout and then only to kneel it. Dennis Allen, I mean, Richard Sherman is alleging that his players want him fired based on how they're playing, particularly on defense. Watching the Saints felt like what it would be like if you were watching a team that was just that had nothing but Trayvon Diggses on their defense. Just this is what it looks like if you're playing with 11 Trayvons, so guys who just actively don't want to
tackle
anybody. Cover or tackle.
Intercept?
All of the above.
Yeah, he intercepts.
So if the Broncos beat the Saints by 23 and the Saints beat the Cowboys by 25, is it reasonable to assume that the Broncos would beat the Cowboys by 48?
Yeah. Is that the transitive property?
Yeah.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think exactly you can call it that. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, it was really, really bad. At one point, you had Bo Nix simultaneously overthrowing a wide-open receiver and underthrowing one as two guys on his team were wide open, and he just threw it right in between them. It was pretty hilarious. Bo Nix is just – he's tough to watch. And then Spencer Rattler last night, there was a play where he fumbles the ball on the snap. He picks it back up. He runs into his own lineman, and then he gets smoked, fumble, and it's a recovery for a touchdown for the defense.
Look, it's been a bad year for a lot of my quarterback takes. That one is hitting early, and
which
I'm glad.
Spencer
Rattler's trash.
Yeah, he looked really good in that for about a half last week.
Be fair to Spencer Rattler and respect the fact that he's got like a half an offensive line. And did you see the guys that he was throwing to? Cedric Wilson was wide receiver one for the Saints last night. He was throwing to a guy named Bub Means.
Yeah,
first name Bub, last name
what
Means.
What do you think Bub means when he says that?
He means well.
He means well. I think Bub means very well.
But he's not a good football. Mason Tipton, Cedric Wilson, and Bub Means were the pass catchers for Spencer Rattler last night. He didn't stand a chance.
Just the Tipton?
Yeah. yes. Okay, so, yeah,
so,
Thursday night
will
football.
Will Dennis Allen be fired today?
I don't know if he'll be fired today. You can't.
I don't think so.
Just and who are you? I guess although maybe. Kubiak is on that staff. Do you want to give him a chance after the offense looked great for 2 weeks and then has bottomed out entirely?
You might. Now, look, yeah, they've had issues with injuries, offensive line, quarterback. The fact that they've lost Shaheed that sucks because that Shaheed has been, like, very quietly essentially Tyreek Hill in terms of big plays. Mm-hmm. There's nobody in the NFL who has more, like, 50-yard touchdowns over the last 2 years than him by, like, a considerable margin. He has, like, three or four more than anybody else. And so he's been really dynamic for them. So they're kind of stuck. The Saints have absolutely spiraled since they beat the snot out of Dallas, which
they have been in a spiral since. Yeah.
I mean, and that's the only spirals we've seen after watching Spencer
right, absolutely.
Football last night.
I'm going to see if I can place a bet on that. I don't know that I can.
On Dennis Allen?
Yeah, and the next coach should be fired.
Maybe because they were embarrassed by Sean Payton, which did you see the petty Sean Payton move last night?
No.
He showed up, and he has not in his entire time in Denver done this, but the week of the Saints game, he threw the visor back on. So he was wearing a Broncos visor last night.
He's been
visorless during his Broncos time, and he wore one last night.
He's just been wearing a regular hat?
Regular hat or nothing? Yeah.
He wore
the visor, the orange visor last night.
Sounds like he's going to need to keep that one going.
That's a little petty.
Yeah.
That sounds like the pettiness of a man who blew us off at Super Bowl Radio.
It's not Detroit Lions petty, but it's up there. Now, let's go ahead and get to Bobby's extravaganza at the State Fair or your conspiracy.
I want to get to my conspiracy theory really quick. So, Chop, you're a man who understands. You remember we talked about.
You just finished the sentence right there. I'm a man who understands.
Yeah, exactly. Unless it's football, according to Jerry.
Yeah.
We were talking about blown tires yesterday, replacing tires. I don't have a blown tire, but Kristen, the Explorer, had a leak in it yesterday. Mm. Like the tire pressure was down to 19, filled it back up. A couple hours later, it was down to like 22 again. So it's like, okay, there's clearly something in here. So we took it yesterday to one of the tire shops around Flower Mound. And
is this a tire shop where you get a discount?
It is.
Okay.
It is, allegedly.
Look at that.
If they're giving me a discount, dear God, I can't imagine what face value is.
Right.
So we walk in there. She drops off the car, and she says, can you come pick me up? They said it's going to be like an hour. So we park the car out front. There's like two cars in front of us. I pick her up. We get around the corner. We're 30 seconds gone. That is it. 30 seconds, and the phone rings, and she goes, who is this? I was like, I don't know, answered it. Maybe it's the tire place. So she answers it, and it is the tire place. And she's talking to him. She goes, "Can't fit your tire." Okay. All right. Well, let me talk to my husband, and we'll call you back. Thanks. And she hung it up. And I looked at her and I said, "Nail in the side of the tire so you can't repair it." Right. And she goes, "Yeah." I was like, "How did they figure that out in 30 seconds? And how is it every time it's the nail in the side of the tire? Mm-hmm. How is that every single? I think that we're running a racket here."
Well, of course. Yeah, we are.
If it's straight in there, how do they know? Because you know what? Here's the thing. They want to sell those tires to me. Because do you know what they quoted me on a replacement for all four tires?
Oh,
you
got to
do all four?
No, it's just the tread's getting low on the other, so they recommended all
four. It's probably $1,000.
You got a, well, you have an Explorer, so it's a bigger tire, like at least $1,200.
No. Higher? No higher.
17?
Higher.
What?
They're $400 a pop, so what now? No, it's more than that. How much?
$2,100.
Get a cheaper tire.
Yeah, the cheapest tire is $1,900.
You know what? I'll find.
And they said we can get you down from the 21-inch to the 20-inch, and that would be cheaper in the long haul. But that would also mean replacing all the rims today, so that's still going to be $2,000. Like, I will put GD boulders on the side of that and run Fred with my feet Fred Flintstone style before I pay you $2,000. So what I need to know is, first off, am I being too cynical by thinking this is a conspiracy about how is every time the nail on the side of the tire?
Because it doesn't time? Physically mean the side. It could be on the outer edge
but
of the 30 tread.
30 seconds later, they call me?
They just looked at it. That's all they did. They didn't even put it on the rack. They just went outside and saw
it. So 30 seconds.
Man, I got tires on my the car I'm giving my kid, my old one, and that was only like $700 for four tires.
Yeah, yes.
But that's it's a car. It's not an SUV. It's just a sedan.
I'm a discount tire guy.
And
and then you get the warranty or whatever.
Bobby went to Face Value Tire.
It's super expensive.
No, I went to
Full Fare Tire.
I went to StubHub Ticketing.
Yeah,
fees
no
tire.
Kidding. Hidden fees tire.
Dear
they
God.
Tore you up, man.
A lot of people
are helping you on the text.
I know.
Right now,
I'm hitting people back right now. 469. I'm about to reply to you.
Hidden All right. fees tire.
All right, there it is. 6 a.m. Club is in the books. We barrel into the 7 o'clock hour here. Sean, RJ, and Bobby live from the Denton Firehouse on a football Friday as part of the Firehouse Tour. Shout out to Palmer's Hot Chicken, Catfish, and Shrimp. And, of course, we have the Sean and RJ coolers, and we have the G-Bag flags as well in the midst of Flagtober. So let's go ahead and get you some headlines from your sports day. And Jamal Adams is now available. Do we really want this guy? We have a trade idea for the Cowboys and a college football super league all in store for you next right here on The Fan.